We appreciate our brother Richard Beard being here with us this morning and leading us out in the music, especially that first one which he sang last week and gave us the chance to sing with him this week. We have many friends come our way, some from far, some from near. But we have the joy to have welcomed about 5 weeks ago Honorine's father, Honorine Nkanga. We just rejoice in his presence amongst us. And interestingly, though he cannot speak much English, he has attended all the meetings and sat through them. And we appreciate that very much. I think his family has tried to explain from time to time in French what it's all about. But we are very grateful for his presence. He leaves tomorrow afternoon, and we've invited him to speak a little word this morning. This is very common to us in Africa, that you greet a group and then you say goodbye. And we didn't get the greeting at the first, but we are very grateful that our brother Mbala Nkanga is going to interpret for his father-in-law to say a word for us. Please come now. Thank you.
Chers frères et sœurs en Christ,
dear brothers and sisters in Christ,
je suis arrivé ici sans dans l'inconnu.
I arrived here as an unknown.
Mais compte tenu du climat de fraternité qui se dégage dans un langage de sourd-muet par des gestes entre vous et moi.
But because of these brotherhood feelings that is coming out of these exchange of death between you and I.
Et alors, je ne peux pas partir sans vous dire que désormais, je ne serai plus parmi vous.
But that's why I have to tell you that I'm leaving, but I'm still going to be amongst you.
Mais je tiens d'abord à vous dire que par l'obstacle de la langue, je suis un chrétien des dimanches, comme on appelle chez nous.
But because of the obstacle of language, I am like people say back home, I'm a Christian, a Sunday Christian.
En fait, je ne suis pas un chrétien des dimanches.
But truly, I'm not a Sunday Christian.
Je suis moi-même catholique.
I'm myself a Catholic.
Dans ma ville, Libreville, je suis paroissien de la cathédrale.
In Libreville, I'm member of a parish, a Catholic parish.
J'ai été président du conseil pastoral paroissial de Libreville, de Sainte-Marie, la cathédrale.
Yeah, I was president of the pastoral council in our parish, Saint Mary. Saint Mary is the largest Catholic parish in Libreville.
Je suis aussi membre de Caritas, l'organisation internationale catholique qu'on appelle Caritas, où j'ai connu Relief Catholic Service. Tu prononces ça en anglais.
I was about a few months ago, national secretary of the Caritas International, which is an international Catholic relief service, which has branches even here in the U.S.
Bon, c'est par la langue que je deviens ici un chrétien de dimanche parce que je ne peux pas participer avec vous.
But because of language, here I have become a Sunday's Christian because I can't participate in like you do in English.
Je tiens à vous remercier sincèrement du fond de mon cœur pour toutes les marques de sympathie que vous avez manifestées à mon égard.
I really want to thank you to the bottom of my heart for all the blessings and all your prayer and all your the joy to be with you.
Ce que j'ai retenu de très intéressant pour votre paroisse.
What I got from this congregation.
C'est une petite communauté chrétienne où la charité chrétienne est vraiment vivante.
This is a small congregation where truly the Christian charity is lived.
Tous les chrétiens se connaissent et s'appellent par leur nom.
Everybody knows everybody and you call each other by your first name.
Vous vivez des repas fraternels, ce qui est vraiment chrétien.
You share food together, which is truly Christian.
Quand j'étais président du conseil de Sainte-Marie, de temps en temps j'organisais des repas fraternels, mais tout le monde ne pouvait pas participer, c'était des délégations.
When I was president of our pastoral council, we did organize this type of sharing, but not everybody attended. There were always people sending others to come.
Or, chez vous aussi, tout le monde participe, tout le monde mange à société, ce qui est très encourageant.
Here, everybody participate and everybody eat to his share.
Eh bien, que le Christ lui-même continue l'œuvre qu'il a commencée pour vous, pour une fraternité agissante. Et je vous remercie.
May Christ continue to bless you, continue to support these brotherhood that exists in this church, and may Him bless you. And I thank you very much.
Merci.
Thank you.
Merci.
Tonight we expect to have a little fellowship with this dear family in our home, and then my wife and I will sing goodbye to him in Zulu. But I wish he knew his own language, but at any rate, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. The bulletin is in your hands. Please attend to all the items that are there for your interest and concern. I would like to emphasize, however, that on Wednesday night we are going to have Brother Mike Brunk here, and I can only ask you to come. We are having about 20 people on Wednesday night, including children and men and women, and that would be a frightful number of people just to have that for him. Please come on Wednesday night. Make a special effort to be here. You will be richly rewarded from the Word of God by our brother's ministry. That's Wednesday night this week. If you are interested in entertaining our brother in some way, please contact Betty Widgeon. The Brunks are going to be staying at their home. I was looking for Joyce Cartwright, but Joan, she's here. She's upstairs. And I can just report that Jean Belakovich, who had a dreadful experience this past week, is somewhat recovered this morning, and she's off the ventilator, and just continue to pray for her, for her rehabilitation in the will and purpose of the Lord. She's gone through some dreadful experiences, but the Lord knows that as well. And so we just want to commend her to the Lord. There are others in our assembly who are not well. I guess Jean was the most critical one this past week. Just continue to pray for God's people and their needs. I believe we'll ask the men now to come and receive the morning offering, please. To have you. I told Michelle this morning as they're getting ready for the singing of the doxology, please, that I was in touch with somebody from Eugene, Oregon. Some of you remember him. He donated that piano to us. Hisa Watanabe. He's not a well man anymore, but he's still functioning as a director of a orchestra out at Eugene, Oregon. Pray for him. And he attends a very fine brethren assembly where the Word of God is faithfully taught. Let's stand and sing now, please. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother James Widgeon, will you lead us in our prayer, please? Be seated, please. You will notice in the bulletin this morning, we have quoted from a very outstanding neo-evangelical, Albert Moeller, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. There's a internet statement from him, from albertmuller.com, which I think is remarkable to come from that man's lips. The problem with most neo-evangelicals is they say, well, we cross the T and dot the I with you, but their practice is far from us. And the quotations that he makes are from people with whom we would not have a warm reception. But I thought that the material that he had to say was incredible. This is what this church stands for, not an entertainment, but ministry and the preaching of God's word. It's not very popular, but it's what is needed. Read that article, please. There are two other sections to this. We didn't have the wherewithal to put that all in the bulletin this morning, but I recommend that you download that of albertmuller.com and about his comments on the preaching of the Word of God and the downgrading of the music that is so prominent today. We thank the Lord for what we stand for. This morning, therefore, amongst other reasons, I am asking Brother George Jordan again to come, and we'll follow what Albert Mohler suggests and what many others have suggested to us, including Dr. Yanga when he came, to stand in the reading of God's Word. I think it is appropriate and gives the reverence that is due the Word of the Lord. Come, brother, and read for us and then pray. He will pray. We'll stand to read and sit to pray, please. Thank you.
Get this down to my size. I want to thank the Lord for Pierre and the fellowship that we had with him. It reminds me of the day of Pentecost when, I mean, even though I don't speak his language, the Spirit of God witnesses between us. And I think that's a tremendous feeling. And the day of Pentecost, of course, the word was put forth in many tongues. And I like that. Turn to Exodus chapter 28. And I'll try to read this. Okay. And take thou unto Aaron, Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe and a broidered coat, a mitre and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof. And so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel. Six of these names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shall thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel and Aaron. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold and two chains of pure gold at the ends. Of wreathen work shalt thou make them and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, of purple, and scarlet, and of fine twine linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be doubled. Four square it shall be doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardis, a topaz, a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of the signet. Every one with his name shall they be, according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold. And thou shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains shall thou fasten in the two ouches and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold, and thou shalt put them upon the two sides of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold shall thou make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the forepart thereof, over against the other couplings thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth into the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it. In the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a harbinger, that it may be rent, not be rent, not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, thou shalt make for them, for glory and beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs shall they shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statue forever unto him and his seed after him. Father, dear Lord, what a privilege, dear God, it is to read thy precious word. And to these brethren, Father, oh Father, I just pray that like we studied this morning, to be of one mind and one spirit, and to love one another, to consider one another, to provoke one another into love and good works, Father. To help where help is needed. And, oh, Father, I pray for all those that are sick, all those that are hurting, and maybe in their hearts, dear God, they want to be here but can't. Father, we just ask that you'd bless them and help them this morning, Father. Oh, I thank you so much, Father, for Jesus, and that he's our righteousness, that, Father, we don't have to get there by works, that you did it all, dear God, and that, oh, Father, what a privilege to rest in thee, to relax, and not to be anxious. Help us, Father, to impart this to others. Help us, dear God, to tell others of the blessed hope that's in our hearts, Father, to help them, to encourage them, to tell them that there is a way out of sin, and there's a way not to be anxious, Father. Just to rest in thee. Now, Father, I pray for our preacher. Pray for Dr. Sachs. As he brings the message, open our hearts, dear God, and bless us. Bless us, Father. Have us just to relax and love one another and to help. Now, in Jesus' precious name, with thanksgiving, I pray. Amen. Yeah.
It's wonderful to have a farmer who plants 90 acres of soybeans to stand up here and read the Word of God to us. Thank you so much, my brother. Our sister Betty is going to sing for us now. I thought I saw her. There she is. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Bill, I mean, not Bill Baird, but Rich Baird, come and lead us in one verse, please, of the next hymn. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's sing one verse only, please. We have something special yet to come in the precious Word of God.
317, or yes, 317 in your hymnals. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you, Betty, for that lovely ministry in the Word. If that doesn't challenge you to want to tell somebody about the grace of God, nothing will. That was a great message and song, and we've experienced, and to share that with others. 317, stand together, please. What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Ones that are making noise, turn it down. We'll just have a word of prayer and then I have an unusual introduction to my sermon this morning from a lady whose birthday is tomorrow. Let's just pause for a moment to prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank Thee for the singing of our hymns, the reading of God's Word, the greeting from our brother, Honorine's father. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Thy blessing, for the ministry and music from our sister, for the piano playing. We give Thee thanks, O God, that Thou hast in mercy and grace granted to us such privileges to worship the Lord who is our Savior. Now we pray, Lord, that as we open the Word of God and have the study of Hebrews chapter 5, the concluding section of that portion, grant to us, Lord, insights for all of us, and may the notes just cast a little light on the text itself, but may the text itself speak to us. It is God's infallible, unchangeable Word, and we give Thee thanks for it. In the precious name of our Lord, we pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. A lady in our congregation who has memorized so much of Scripture has followed me in the book of Hebrews to memorize Scripture. So I've asked her to recite for us Hebrews 1, chapter 1 through chapter 5. You come, please, Vicki. You may check her out in your own Bible. We are honored to have you say this.
God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers and the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth the garment. And as the vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou promised him with glory and honor, and to set him over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham, whereby in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. And Moses verily was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, how about not all? For some, when they did provoke, how about not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth as some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As it is said, today, if you shall hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Amen. Well, thank you very much.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for this section of the Word of God which has been quoted to us, for the one from Exodus 28 which was read to us. Now, Lord, as we give us a few moments to expound a portion of the Word, we ask, Lord, to give us attentive hearts and readiness to listen by the grace of God. I pray in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse number 5. I ask for the quotation of all these verses. That is part of the outline which you have in front of you to summarize all that has been said before. If you were to find some reasons why you would turn away from the Lord, what would you say? Well, as far as the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there is no reason to turn away from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more than perhaps at that time. There are the Mormons, there are the Jehovah's Witnesses, there are all kinds of people. Somebody told me just yesterday, he said he has a friend who said he was interested in the spiritual things, but he said, I am a Baha'i. I take all kinds. It doesn't matter to me. So the diversity has led some people to say, well, how do we know that ours is the right one? Have you ever thought about that? That this church claims that we have the inside track on the Lord and nobody else has it? Only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Jesus said again and again that He alone, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other, any other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I've had occasion just this week to talk to people who say, yes, but there must be another way. Our answer is there is no other way. Do you understand, my friend, what you are exposing your ears to? You are now responsible for knowing that there's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ. And any of your friends or your relatives who have other ideas are wrong. Sorry. I was told at Kinko's last night that there's no telephone number for the Liberty office of Kinko's. And I said to the man, listen, I've seen it several times. He said to me, I don't care what you see. I don't believe it. You're lying to me about a telephone number. You can imagine what you do if you tell him there's only one way to get to heaven. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The pinnacle of this whole issue is about the high priest. All the things that we've read and had quoted for us this morning are very, very fine. But the pinnacle of it is the high priest, what we call in Hebrew the HaKohen HaGadol. HaKohen HaGadol, the high priest. He's the pinnacle of the whole thing. If you can throw that away and say, well, Christ doesn't satisfy that need, then fine. But you notice what it says in verse number 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. I like that, don't you? What it's saying is that the items in verses 1 to 4 are satisfied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not glorify himself. Hey, wait a minute.
I want to turn this thing on. I'd like to have the strength to go down there and talk to you. But let me say this. It's very, very important to understand that the Lord has glory to be a priest. He has glory to be a priest. What's a priest? A priest is someone who takes your message to God. The prophet is one who brings God's message down to you. Do you understand? It's a glory for him to be our priest. When was the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for taking that glory? He left glory, John chapter 17, verse 5. All the glory was in him, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But do you understand
that the Father gave him glory to be what? Your priest. To bear your sins. To bring a sacrifice for you. What a glory. This is incredible. He did not glorify himself. He was given that glory by the Father. But he left glory to take on glory. He left heaven's glory to take on this earthly experience of the incarnation of our blessed Savior. Well, you notice, he did not take the glory to himself. He was given it. And to prove that, the Apostle Paul, because he was inspired by the Lord, gave two supports for it. One is from Psalm 2:7, and the other was from Psalm 110, verse 4. Look at the particular quotations there in your Bible. Psalm 2, verse 7. But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And the second one, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Before we make a comment, I want you to notice something. In my Bible, it uses the old English word thou. The Greek word is sou. It's the second person personal pronoun, you. You are my son. You are a priest. It's an emphatic statement. No other one but the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory which the Father gave him is for him personally. What an incredible statement. It's supported by Scripture. The one is of him being a son. Being a son gives him a Christhood, and the Christhood gives him a priesthood. You wouldn't have thought it in that order, but he said, because you're the son, you can be the priest. The second one, the second quotation, adds something different. Not that he's a son, but it is a priest. And you notice a special kind of a priest. He's after the order of Melchizedek. May I suggest that the word order is after the scale of a different priesthood. The priests that are spoken of in verses 1 to 4 are the priests from the Levitical side of things. As outlined in Numbers, I've given you the verses in Numbers there. It's the one of which we read this morning from Exodus chapter 28. That priesthood had successors. The priesthood of the Lord has no successors. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, the successors are labeled there, Aaron and his sons. There's no son after Melchizedek. When the Lord is the priesthood, and he has, is after the order, after the scale of Melchizedek, there's no successor. Not only do we know that is after a special order, but you notice in verse number 6, it says, he's a priest forever. The Levitical priests had successors, and so another one came on the line. But the Lord is a priest forever. There's no one to follow him. What an incredible statement. He's the son and qualifies therefore as a priest, but his priesthood is after a different order. So he qualifies exactly as one would expect. Why do we use those two verses? Because of verse number 10. He's called of God. That's what those two verses are saying. Verse number 5 says, he said unto him, verse number 6, he saith also in another place. Who is the he? I gave you an option in the notes, but I should never put it in there. The word hetero, another place in verse number 6, suggests the idea that it could be the Scriptures or a person. I take it it's the same God in verse number 5. He, God the Father, said to the Son, Thou art my Son. Thou art my Son. And Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is God the Father saying this. It could be a text, but whatever, whether it's the text or the Father, the point is, he has divine commitment. He has a divine assignment. He has a divine statement from heaven above, thou art the priest. This is one of the expectations of a priest in verse number 4. No man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. So verse number 5 says he's the son, he qualifies. Verse 6 says he's got a special order, he qualifies. No question about it, my friend. Why turn away from the pinnacle of Judaism or the pinnacle of the hierarchy of Judaism in the Bible? He says, don't turn away. Never turn away. There's no reason to say, I want to forget and turn away from the Lord Jesus because suffering is a problem with me. I can't take it anymore. That's what the Jews were saying. I don't want to suffer. He says, don't turn away. Hang on. It's always too soon to quit. Stay with it. What a wonderful testimony. And then you'll notice, since that's the testimony of the divine assignment, there's also a human one. Look at verse number 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications and strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. May I just make these few comments? In the days of his flesh, in the days of his flesh answers to verse number 1 of chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men, he had to have humanity. Verses 5 and 6 prove that he had deity. He was called of God. Now he's also in the flesh. He has both qualifications. The one qualification, he is what God wants him to be, and he's also what man expects him to be. Because he's the priest, he offers to God for man. The prophet answers from God down to man. But now he's the priest, and he doesn't take this honor to himself. God the Father gave him this wonderful honor. That's listed for you in John's Gospel, chapter 8. May I just notice this for you, please? When he says the days of his flesh, you bring verses like John 1:14. He became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You take Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, that he took upon himself the form of a servant. These are tremendous words. Don't miss this, my brother. He makes both qualifications, the divine and the human. But I want you to notice these wonderful thoughts about what he did in his flesh. He offered up prayers. Can I just stop there? Prospero is the Greek word there for offer. He offered like to an altar. He brought his prayers to an altar. I don't know how to say this, but I want to be kind and considerate. When somebody prays, whether in a small group like we have here, as well as in a large group, that prayer is going to an altar. It's not just voicing or articulating words. When Brother James this morning prayed for the offering, that was a prayer towards God. It wasn't just for your ears to hear that. This morning, we prayed around the breakfast table. And then before we left the home, we had a little reading and we had some prayer. That prayer, my friend, was not just to fill the air. That was to be towards God. When I go into a hospital room and I pray, I'm not talking to the patient, I'm talking to God. It's prosperoing. It's bringing a prayer to God. It's bringing it to the altar. This is very important. Don't forget this, my friend. When he was in his flesh and he prayed like bringing his prayer to the altar. If you think of the temple, he brought to the burnt offering, he brought to the golden offering, he brought it to the burnt altar or the golden altar. He brought it to God. You pray to God. That's why it says here, who in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications. This is the way he prayed. or the accompaniments of prayer. He had two of them. Supplications. I'm sorry, with the word prayers and the word supplication. The word prayers is deesis. It's a request. And the word supplication is as if a man took a badge of a palm branch and brought it to the Lord. This is incredible. Brother, when we pray, it's like to an altar. It's also accompanied by a strong cry before God. It doesn't necessarily mean tears, but it does mean earnestness, devoutness, seriousness. This is nothing to joke about. I am troubled when I have been in the presence of some people when I have prayed or other people have prayed and the kids are joking around or laughing or they got their eyes open. Hey, be careful. Prayer is to a holy God, to a God you have to pay attention to. And there's a crying out to God and with tears. Only twice in the New Testament is the word tears used in connection with the Lord. One was in connection with John chapter 11, verse 35. And I'm afraid that some people mock. I'm going to quote a Bible verse. Jesus wept. Hey, be careful about that kind of talk. He wept. He wept in Gethsemane. He wept when Lazarus was resurrected. We get too jokey about the Bible, too jokey about prayer. I've been guilty of that myself, unfortunately. But the more I study my Bible, the more I'm conscious of the fact, hey, better straighten up, boy. This is a serious business. Strong crimes, tears. But you notice, it was unto him, it was addressed to God. No question about that. We know when he brings the altar, he's talking to God, but it specifically says he spoke unto him. What kind of a him? Who is able to, notice it says, save him from death. There's a curious philosophy or thinking that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord struggled with Satan, and Satan was after him to discourage him from going to the cross. And the Lord gained the victory, and he did go to the cross. In my Bible, maybe yours is different than mine. I don't think it is. There were only three people in that garden. There was Jesus, and there was God the Father, and at the end, where there was an angel. There's no Satan in that passage at all. That's a theory. It's a cock and bull story. Has no biblical suggestion whatsoever. Then he could. Who is the one who's to save him out of death? Do you mean that the Lord was pleading with the Father? I don't want to die. That can't be, because that's why he came. I quoted the verses for you in the notes. He came to die. He did not come to live. But what does it say? It's a wonderful thing how, I don't want to burden you on this, but I am a man of conviction about this matter, what text to use for Scripture. As a matter of fact, I was telling Sin May this morning, I read a long dissertation from Dr. Jeffrey Koo in Singapore to answer a man in their Pandan Bible Presbyterian Church. A man who attends the services. The pastor of that church is Dr. S.H. Toh. He was at one time the outstanding gynecologist for Singapore. Well, he still practices, I think, but not delivering children. But he's a very, very prominent man. And he's nobody's fool. He made the department of which he was the chair well known throughout the whole world. And then the Lord called him into Christian service through the ministry of a Chinese evangelist. And he's been the pastor, and they have a very large congregation. and he believes in the text of Scripture just the way I do. He makes no bones about it. But somebody in his congregation said, this is the wrong thing. So I think Dr. Koh was asked to come and, or Koh was asked to come and give a message. And somehow this fellow got upset about it. Anyway, he wrote a public letter to the congregation in not listening to his pastor, well, his senior pastor and the pastor who's now there. Two pastors told him, don't do it. The whole eldership said, don't do it. But he did it anyway. And Koh took the opportunity to respond to him. Now, I would not have the opportunity, my brother. Will you listen carefully? I would not have the opportunity to tell you what I'm going to say right now if I didn't have a text of Scripture, a specific text, not one that says, well, there are all kinds of possibilities. I have selected a text. What text do you have? What text do you believe in? I'm not talking about an English text. I'm talking about a Greek text. The one I have, I can show it, it's on my desk in there, has here when it says, to save from death. The from is a translation of the preposition ek. It could have been a preposition apo. If it were apo, then we say from, away from. But ek means to be saved out of. So there was something incurred, which was death. He died. And he was saved out of death. So this is a testimony to his resurrection. He made his prayers to the altar, Prospero. He made his prayers directed, accompanied by strong crying and tears unto him who was able to raise him from the dead. What a wonderful word. The Gethsemane was more, my brother, than just telling me that he sweat great drops of blood. That was the place, it was the fulfillment of Psalm 16:10. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Why? Because, would you get this, please? He prayed intelligently, but he prayed diligently. This is what you read at the end of the verse. And he was heard in that he feared. Do you see that in your Bible? It wasn't that he just voices, well, I'm the son. It wasn't that. Because he feared. I tell you, we ought to have a holy fear when we pray. Privately and in concert. To realize that we're talking to a holy God. Even our Lord was heard because he feared. And the word fear is not phobos, the common word, but a word which indicates he took into account what was going on. He was full of, what can I say, great discipline of heart. He was devout in his prayer. He was earnest. I wish that I could pray that way all the time, don't you? That when you prayed, you knew that you were touching heaven. To be heard. Do you remember that in John chapter 11? That's the other one in the Scriptures which indicates that the Lord was heard. He prayed and he said, I want you to answer my prayer, Lord, that they will know that you hear me. That you hear me. What a Savior. What a priest. What an example. My friend, don't miss this stuff. It's so easy to just say, well, I went to church, I heard what he had to say, but what change takes place in your life, you know? What response do you have to what you hear? Please don't say ho-hum, because if you do that, remember, what you hear, you are responsible for. And the more light you have, the more you're responsible. That's what was in the reading this morning from Days of Praise. Oh boy. What more can I say to you? There's no reason to turn away and say, well, I give up on the Lord. Never, never. And the example is given here for us by His grace. I commend that to you this morning. Listen carefully, respond earnestly, and go away from here and say, Lord, what I need to do, whatever it has to be done, I want to change. I want to be the man that you want me to be. I want to be the woman that you want me to be. I want to be the believer that you want me to be. There's no other Savior. There's no other way. There's no other situation. I have great joy, as I did this last week, sharing with some people, and they say, well, I go to such and such a church. I say, well, it's not the church that saves you. It's the Lord. So let's talk about Him. We don't have a religion. We have a person, a Savior, the Lord Jesus. My brother and sister, there will you sit. What decision are you making about this kind of stuff? You say it's irrelevant. If it's irrelevant, I feel sorry for you. It's very relevant. It's telling you who He is and what He is as a function, a vocation before us, as the priest for us. And it's the honor that the Father has bestowed upon Him. Let's just give Him the honor. When was the last time you got down your knees and told Him, I thank You, Lord, for being my priest, for carrying my sins to the cross. Thank You, Lord, for carrying my petitions up to the Father. These are the things you want to remember. It's an honor for Him, and the Father gave it to Him. Let us give Him the honor that is due His wonderful name. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank Thee for the privilege to bring to these thoughts to the remembrance of Thy people here this morning, and to just go over what the text has to say. Lord, we have nothing else but the Word of the living God. And if that doesn't touch our hearts, nothing will. Arguments are not going to get in. Nothing that's going to be on our part to persuade people. But the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to persuade us to do what is right and honest and responsible to the Holy God. I pray for my brother and sister on my right and on my left, for the moms and the dads, for those who are heads of homes, the men here, Lord, that they would be men of God, men who lead their families out in prayer, which reaches to the altar, which reaches to the Father, who is able to save, not from death, but out of death itself, to bring about resurrection. Oh, God, these are terrific truths, and I pray that not one of us will fail to understand what God is trying to tell us. Thank Thee, Lord, for hearing us. And I thank Thee for hearing the Lord Jesus because of His devotedness, His honesty and genuineness before the Father. This is an incredible thing, that the Lord Jesus came to fulfill everything that the Father wanted Him to do, even to the way He prayed. Oh, Lord, may we learn from Him what we've learned or heard this morning from the text of Scripture. I ask in the mighty name of Christ and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.